On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Whatever.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Don't argue with me. I'm not in the mood for that. I am not in the mood to argue the name of my show or the fact that it exists in a vacuum. Oh, man. Monday, the beginning of another week. Glad I could be a part of it. Don't blame it on me. I'm just a part of it, okay? Stop blaming me for everything. My God. Oh. Welcome to the show. Sit back, relax. I'll take it from here. I have a guest coming up a little bit later in the program that is going to make your life a lot more acceptable. How's your life, Ron? It's acceptable. Okay, fine. Anyway, I'm very excited because on Mondays are special days for me, and I'll tell you why, whether you want to hear it or not. It's because I feel cleansed on a Monday. I do. There are three things that I do in order to cleanse myself, and none of them involve shoving anything up my ass or eating strange foods. It's kind of good. Now, here's what happens. First of all, on Mondays is my garbage trash collection day. On Mondays at 7 o'clock a.m., like clockwork, because I said the word clock, a large freaking truck pulls up in front of my house with robotic arms, grabs my trash can and dumps it into the truck, and the truck rolls away, well, it drives away, and my garbage can is empty. And then another truck comes and gets my other garbage can with recyclable items in them, to which I still don't understand what's recyclable, blah, 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 and not. But I do the best I can. It is so wonderful to see my garbage being collected and tossed into the world of obscurity. And the truck drives away, and I have no more garbage in front of my house, nor in it as I psychologically convince myself. Just going through my house in order to collect the trash is a cleansing thing. It is the epitome of a healthier mind and body, is to get rid of your trash. I mean, that's what we do. We clean ourselves of the negative energy, and that is trash. It's old food and garbage and CVS receipts, things like that. I once said to the trash collector truck driver, jokingly, I said, I love the way you collect the trash. So thank you. And I said, you don't take humans, do you? you don't take my wife, do you? And he looked at me and said, no, we don't do that. It was a joke. I didn't really want you to take my wife. If I put her out in the trash can, would you take her? I didn't say that, but he took me seriously, and now I'm a little afraid of why I'm getting strange phone calls from the detectives. That's a joke. It is a joke. Stop it. It's a joke. Anyway, so I do feel very cleansed when the trash collection comes by and going through my house and cleaning. So Mondays are like, oh, good, the trash has left my house. The other thing that I do in order to cleanse myself is I vacuum. Now, I do have somebody that comes in and cleans my house once a month. I can only take it once a month, but it's important because I'm allergic to everything. I'm allergic to dust, plants, people, life itself, foods, everything. I'm allergic to everything. Not really, but I think I am. So I do have a cleaning person who comes in, and the cleaning person is actually quite clean herself. And she comes in and she does the things that I don't do, like she cleans the windows and shit like that, and the floors. I don't mop floors. Give me a break. She cleans the toilets. I ain't going near there. She cleans the bathtub, the bathrooms, the kitchen, you know, all the places that the schmuck stuff can start accumulating. But I do vacuum every once in a while because I like things being sucked up. I love to vacuum and to see the carpet get clean and to see all the little pieces of crap on the floor just sucked up into obscurity. Love it. And then the garbage guy comes on Mondays and holds it all. Oh, this is great. What a clean feeling that is. Leaf blowers. Man, I love leaf blowers. I do. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a phallic thing or what. But I love the leaf blower because it blows shit around. Who wouldn't like that? It cleans things off simply by a large, mad thrust of air. Oh, baby. Now you're talking. The other thing I like to do, and I've named more than three, is when I take a shower, I feel like I've cleansed myself. And I have, literally. But it's that feeling of the water just washing away because it also cleans my soul. Yeah, I don't have to open my mouth and drink the water to be cleansed from that shower. It's like washing away all your inners as well, you know, everything like that. Yeah, I know. And the last thing that I really love, that I feel really refreshed, is the actual colonoscopy. Now, I'm of an age where my family practice, the primary care. Do you care for me? Primarily, yes. They're telling me that I must get a colonoscopy once every like 5 or 10 years or something like that. I don't mind the actual, you know, sticking of the tube camera. I don't mind that because I'm half like dazed and asleep when I do it. But that stuff, that crap that you got to drink in order to clean out your system, and then it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden your body just says, I'm releasing everything, and if a couple of organs come out of there too, so be it. There's not a cleaner feeling. I mean, there is nothing left inside me at all. I am totally cleaned out. I have been hollowed out. That's a very cathartically wonderful feeling. There isn't a drop in me. I have nothing left. You could drive a car in there and park it for the night because there's no blockage. There's nothing in there. And then, of course, the actual colonoscopy itself, they take the camera at the end of this long tube. It's like a plumber's nightmare, you know, that snake thing. They shove that camera in there on the end of the tube, and they look around. They're just looking around. What are you doing? What are you doing in my ass? Well, we're just looking around just to see if there's any stalactites or stalagmites in your little anal cave. Wow. What'd you find? A couple little things. We cut them loose, you know, so you're good. You're clean. We also found your car keys. And what is this? What is this that we found? What is this thing? Oh, never mind. That's not important. And what we also found this old CVS receipt from 2008. Oh, okay, fine. Unfortunately, all the coupons are expired, but we did pull that out of you. Wow, okay. Yeah, it's a very cleansing feeling. I do suggest that you clean yourself out. I mean, it's a good idea. And that's what I do. That's how I live my life. I can continually clean. You've got to. You don't know. See, here's the problem with hoarders. Not whores. I have no problem with whores. I have a problem with hoarders who keep everything. They never throw anything out. And I think psychologically, and I'm not a hoarder myself, but there are two reasons to hoard. The first reason, if I were a hoarder, this would be my reason, is that I am too freaking lazy to get rid of anything. And it's like, oh, I can't. It's just so much to do. I've got to sit there and, oh, I got to bring, oh, you throw it out. It's easier. Just leave it there. Just leave the dead cat there. Oh, I got to, oh, God, no. Just leave it there. So much easier. I don't have to get up. I don't have to do anything. That would be my reason for hoarding if I were a hoarder, but I'm not. I'm also not a whore. Stop calling me that. Stop it. The other reason for being a hoarder, which is usually the psychologically odd condition reason, is that you feel more comfortable being surrounded around with your stuff. You know, this is, it's a mess. There are probably dead cats around, but I'm surrounded by my things. These things that I bought that I love. But you don't use those things. It doesn't matter. I'm surrounded by them. It's like my fortress of crap. I feel more comfortable being surrounded with my stuff. Okay. You know that that's a problem, don't you? Oh, I do know. I do know. I know. Oh, I know. I know all so well. I know. But I'm so at home with all this crap around me. Hoarders also tend to buy a lot of stuff in order to increase the amount of crap. It just makes them feel better. There was a television show called Hoarders, which I thought was quite remarkable simply because it was so obvious that that's what the show was about, because the name of the show was Hoarders. And then when you watch a TV show, it was about actual hoarders. So I thought, okay, that show's right on, you know. There's no question what I'm going to be watching here. And yeah, these are sick people, but I felt an affinity toward them because they actually are human beings who are have a condition, and we all have something wrong with us. And that's not the theme of today's show. But it's a realization that you must come to, because you must respect other people's problems, because you have problems too. I have never, ever, 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 can I say that word more to underline it? I have never, ever, 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 ever met somebody that didn't have a problem. And when I say a problem, something that they do or that they exist with that really kind of roadblocks their life, where they can't move on in a certain direction because of a problem they have. Sometimes we call it baggage. Oh, that person has a lot of baggage. They do, yes. Psychological problems? No, they have a lot of baggage. They like hoard suitcases. And if you're a hoarder, you hoard suitcases. You don't throw them out. They can you can't use them. There's holes in them, but they don't throw them out because that was a suitcase that I took with me to Bolivia. I can't throw that out. Well, you can. It's junk. It's no good. Yeah, but you know, it's my suitcase. I can't throw that out. I've never, ever, 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 ever met somebody that didn't have some type of incredible problem, to the point where I would walk away once I had a deep conversation with them. I would always say, well, that person's fucked up. I mean, whoa, oh gosh, whoa, whoa. Nice person and everything, but whoa. I've never, Everybody. And if somebody seems really perfect behind closed doors, guaranteed they're not. Guaranteed they are putting on a social act for you in public. When they're in private, watch out. All hell's going to break loose. Every living human being, human, I should say, there's some deep-rooted problem in everybody, whether it be because of their childhood, something that they're scared of, whatever the situation is, something in their life drove them away from a specific situation to make it horrific the rest of their lives. Everybody, every single freaking person. You included, me included, everybody. And if you're sitting there and saying, no, I know somebody that is just perfect every way around, no problems whatsoever, you're crazy. And if they think, if this particular person you're talking about thinks they have no problems as well, then we call that delusional. Because they're not aware of their problems. You overeat. Whatever the case may be. You smoke. You overeat. You drink. You get angry. You get frustrated. You overthink. Everybody's got something. And it doesn't have to be one of those medical conditions that you're diagnosed with. It doesn't have to be that. It's something that you do obsessively, or some way you think obsessively, or some reaction you display obsessively. We all have that problems. Those problems, I should say. So, what does that mean? Don't be so judgy. Don't be judgy. I went to a play yesterday, and there was a kid sitting next to me, and I say a kid. The kid was probably about like 20 years old. All right, that's still a kid, I think. That's a young adult that hasn't found their way. Didn't leave breadcrumbs along the path to be able to get back. You know what I'm saying? Mentally. And he sat there and he was fidgety. Now, I'm just sitting there watching the play, this kid next to me, and it was a comedy, which was not really funny. The play sucked. The play was called The Games Afoot. It was a detective thing, Sherlock Holmes. It sucked. It sucked because it was overacted and just horrible and not funny at all. But this kid next to me was laughing at everything. And when he laughed, his entire body undulated. And he would rock back and forth in his chair in unbridled laughter. And then he would take a look down the row of seats in both directions to see if other people were enjoying this as much as he was, but it didn't matter. And I felt like just taking my hand and slapping him in the face and saying, will you sit still and just stop overreacting? But then I said to myself, this kid has a condition of not being able to control himself when he finds something funny. He laughs by moving his body. I find it incredibly annoying because he's sitting next to me, but it's a world, man. If that's the way he reacts to something funny, or in his mind funny, then he does. I mean, who am I to slap him in the face? Well, because in a theater situation, when you're sitting next to complete strangers, you expect them to respect that and not to move around and to, not to do that. But he's reacting to something he's seeing on the stage, and which I don't find funny, but he does. What am I going to do? Slap him in the face because he's enjoying himself? So I just sat there, and I left after there was an intermission. I left because I couldn't take it anymore, and the place sucked anyway, and there was no leg room. I have long legs. I can't handle it. If I'm uncomfortable, why did I go to begin with? Some theaters, they're so uncomfortable. I just leave. Yeah, I paid money. You can't even give me a seat that's comfortable. You can't even do that. See, I don't think that when I go to the theater or to a movie or something, I'm not paying to watch the film. I'm not paying to watch the play in the theater. I'm paying for a seat. Yes, I'm paying for a seat. I'm paying to sit in a chair. That's what I'm renting. I'm renting a chair for the duration of the entertainment. I'm renting a chair. Because on the ticket, it's got a specific chair printed on the ticket. That's my chair for this particular amount of time. Not to say that they're guaranteeing that the person sitting in the chair next to me is going to be respectful or anything like that, because they're renting their chair. So I have to just understand that. And that's called respect. I bring up this word respect so often on this show, because I think it's the answer to everything. And it is. Yeah, it is. Break it down. It is. So I respected this kid's reaction to this comedy play, which wasn't really very funny at all. Anyway, how did I get into that? How did I get there? Oh, yeah. Everybody's got problems. That's what it was. Everybody's got problems. Yeah. And they do. Okay. I have a guest coming up. My guest is going to talk about how you can have a decent winter no matter where you live, just by taking one precaution, which is so simple, and yet so many people don't. So we're going to do that. But first, I have some great news for you. Well, I don't know about me, but it's good news for you. This show is growing quite incredibly over the years. And as a result, I need to hire somebody.
Are you looking for a career in the fast-paced world of radio and podcasting? Good news, New England Broadcasting is now hiring. That's right, you could have a chance to work with 30-year broadcasting icon Ron Van Dam on his Daily Show and all the other fine programs on New England Broadcasting. Immerse yourself in the nonstop action of a broadcasting career where every day you'll be responsible for things like warming up Ron's coffee, getting more coffee, cleaning unspeakable schmutz off microphones, semi-regular toenail and ear hair trimming, checking the dryer to see if Ron's underpants are toasty warm, helping Ron into his toasty warm underpants, telling Ron he sounds good, checking to see if Shanahan is sober enough to do some bits, reassuring Ron that you're not lying, he does sound good, unclogging the studio toilet, yes, every day, fending off Ron's fan, intermittent waxing, and taking calls from Ron's exciting guests, from that lady who wrote a book on diseases only frogs get, to the D-list celebrity who's thrilled to be the official spokesperson for the American Nasal Impaction Society. You might be wondering if you're right for the job. Qualifications include an unironic interest in radio, knowing who Ron is in the first place, a tolerance for supernatural levels of flatulence, and at least 1 year of experience in dealing with grumpy old people who talk to themselves. If that sounds like you, your future is waiting at New England Broadcasting.
Dr. Stephen Furr joins us. He's president of the American Academy of Family Physicians. And this is something that it's kind of like the white elephant in the room here. We had the COVID situation, and then we eased out of it after quite a period of time. COVID's still around, but we don't talk about it anymore. Do you find that to be the case, Dr. Furr?
Yes, we're still seeing people having COVID, and we still see people now starting to have flu that's popping up too.
Yeah.
So it's not out of sight, and it's also not out of mind, even though we don't talk about it as much. But now as we're going into the winter season, you're going to be around your family and friends more in enclosed environments, and it's going to be cooler, so you're going to be inside. So the risk of spreading these respiratory viruses is going to be markedly increased. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that you do stay up on your COVID vaccines. COVID is still there. If you've even had COVID in the past, you've had previous vaccines, that doesn't mean you're going to be protected right from the newer variants of the COVID. So that's why it's really important if you get the updated COVID vaccine.
Has there become a complacency because at one point it could kill you? Now it'll just make you sick for a period of time and get you out of your routine and will be bothersome. But for many people, it's still a serious situation, though, right?
That's correct. I mean, some people still get serious illnesses. We still get people that get hospitalized with COVID.
Yeah.
And we still get people that die with COVID. And even if you don't get a serious illness, remember, if you do get infected, you're going to miss work or miss school for 5 days, because the rule is still that you need to quarantine for 5 days after you get infected. I can tell you, even if you don't get a severe illness, you can feel pretty bad for 2 or 3 days. And particularly during this period of time, you want to protect yourself and protect your loved ones. And the good thing about the new COVID vaccine, whether you've had all the boosters in the past and the primary doses, or you've had none of them, all that you're required to do is get this one COVID vaccine. We don't consider it a booster. We send it, consider it standalone, just like the flu vaccine. And the other good thing, too, is that you can get both your COVID and your flu vaccine at the same time, at the same office visit while you're visiting your family physician.
Yeah, I think that some people don't understand. I think that if they get the flu shot, then they're good. But this, they are two completely different situations, and there are others as well beyond that.
You're actually got a third vaccine, which is respiratory syncytial virus, which is recommended for people over 60. So there are three vaccines out there. We do prioritize the COVID and the flu vaccine, but the respiratory syncytial virus, we encourage you to talk about to your family physician about that also. Yeah.
See, what I don't understand, doctor, is that many, many people get the flu vaccine every single year, standard for themselves, their children, their family, but they don't do it for the new COVID. And I don't understand why not. I mean, what's the difference? As far, if you're going to get the flu, why don't you get the COVID? It doesn't make sense.
I can tell you, I can understand people's mindsets as we've gone through the COVID vaccine. And hopefully help them to understand what's going on. I think over time, more and more people, I think, will realize that it's important to get both. And I'll tell you, all you have to do is get an episode of COVID and get sick for a couple of days. The next time you'll be getting the COVID vaccine the next year. So I think people are just trying to learn about it. Yeah. And I think you're right. Some people just kind of think it's gone away, but it hasn't. And we'll probably be living with it with the rest of our lives.
We probably will be, like, maybe it'll be annually. Right now, it seems to be every 6 months there's an update. Is that the way it's running now?
It's kind of run that way, but it looks like we'll probably move more to an annual update, very much like the flu vaccine.
Right, right. Maybe someday it'll be pill form, and then people, because people love pills, you know, or gummies. Gummies would do it.
Gummies are sweet and they taste good. You're right.
Right. So you won't get COVID, but you get diabetes. So. All right. Is the COVID-19 update, is that still free?
Yes, it is free, and that's the good thing, is it's covered by all the insurance plans. If you don't have insurance, through the CDC, there's a program called a Bridge Access Program, which will cover your vaccines. So the insurance has covered the vaccines, and there's no copays or no administration fees for getting the vaccines. If your children are on Medicaid, it's also covered on Medicaid. If your children do not have insurance, the Vaccines for Children program, which you can get through your family physician's office or through your health department, it'll be covered for free. So there should be no cost for you to get the COVID vaccine or the flu vaccine. Both of those should be totally free. They're covered on Medicare Part B without any issues.
Doctor, what about the old story with the COVID where, well, I don't get the COVID thing because the shot because I don't feel well afterwards. I feel like I have the flu the next day. I mean, this kind of stuff. Is that still a mindset?
For some people, it is. And I can tell you, I've had every COVID vaccine that there is to have. Yeah, and other than having a sore arm, I've never had any other side effects with it. Most people I talk with have not either.
Right.
A lot of people say that with the flu vaccine, and a lot of that goes to the older flu vaccines they've had, so they won't take any of the newer ones.
Right.
And my finding is that most of the newer vaccines, their side effects are very minimal. And that's one of the reasons we say it's safe to take the COVID and flu vaccine at the same time.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is, you're right. I mean, this is a time where people gather indoors together, no matter where they are. Even if it's a nice environment or a warmer climate, you're still gathering together for the holidays. In the colder one, you're just staying inside all the time, and the chances of getting sick from anything are much higher in a respiratory sense. So why don't you, nobody's dying from getting the boosters and the flu shots. I mean, I don't understand, but as you say, we can't understand everybody, but there's just no reason not to do this. And especially if you have children, damn it, at least protect your children. All right. Is there any other information we need to know?
Yeah, if they want other information, a good place to go is vaccines.gov. Also, the AAFP, the American Academy of Family Physicians, .org is a good website to go through. Or also talk to your family physician. If you have any questions or concerns about the vaccines, encourage you to talk to your family physician.
Excellent. Especially, I should say, if you have any kind of physical condition that you have been diagnosed with anything at all, it's a good idea to get them, especially so that you don't get sick, because that just complicates things. Okay.
You're exactly right. And the other thing, even if you are healthy, the worst thing is to be able to miss some of these events you'd like to spend with your family and friends.
Yeah.
If you're sick or you've got COVID and you're going to miss being with them.
Absolutely. That's the mildest reason, but okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. He's Dr. Stephen Furr. One more time where we can get more information on this.
Vaccines.gov is a great source, and the AAFP.org website is also very helpful.
Perfect. Pleasure speaking to you. Have a great holiday, my friend.
Take care, Ron. Take care.
Take care. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. Until that time arrives, well, I gotta tell you, I wish you peace.